Good morning. Good to be here. In my age, it's good to be anywhere. But sorry. They tell jokes. They're not always good. Okay. It's a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. It truly is. We do not appreciate the glory, the goodness, the mercy that we in America enjoy, that people in other countries suffer constantly. In Korea this morning, the possession of a Bible will get you shot, period. We need to remember the persecuted church. We need to remember the mission field. For Jesus came to those who were hurting and lost and dying. He came to those who needed a physician. Amen. He came for us. Came for us. I'm going to have to go beyond my, get my cheaters out. So I hopefully won't have to break into them. Open your Bibles this morning. Let's go to John, the 11th chapter. The Gospel of John, the 11th chapter, please. This is a familiar scripture, but it's got some things in it worth seeing and reading, I believe. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who had anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, behold, he who you love is sick." We learn from other passages of Scripture that Mary and Martha lived in a little place called Bethany over on the other side of the Mount of Olives, 2 miles from Jerusalem. It's where Jesus came when he came to town, and he came to town at least 3 times a year, because all Jewish men were required to show up at the temple 3 times a year. Jesus obeyed the Mosaic law perfectly. Never once did he break it. Jesus even came on Hanukkah, the festival of lights. Jesus participated in that festival also. It's in your Bible. Read it. Eh? And by the way, to all of you who are Hebrew descent this morning, happy Hanukkah. Today is the first day of Hanukkah. 8 more days. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's Jews all over the world this morning celebrating. So Jesus came and he spent, and he was a considerable visitor to the house of Mary and Martha, and they had a brother named Lazarus whom he loved. That's what it says. Lord, behold, he who you love is sick. This wasn't a passing acquaintance. This wasn't someone that he had met somewhere at a meeting or run into on the road. This was a man he had fellowship with. Do you have fellowship with God this morning? Do you have fellowship? I mean, not just saying I know the Lord, but I mean, do you have time in prayer? Do you have time in the Word? Because that's how he speaks to you primarily, is in the Word. The Word comes alive. You go, oh, I never saw that before. Or, oh, that makes sense. I've never been there before. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. He's speaking life and grace to you. So Jesus knew Lazarus and he loved him. And we say, well, that's what Jesus is. He loves people. But obviously Lazarus loved him back, because Jesus kept going to his house. What a nice place to get away from the terror of Jerusalem, which it was for Jesus. The second thing I want to look at in that little piece of scripture in that passage is the inference there. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sisters sent to him. That phrase, sent to him. Jesus was an itinerant preacher. They ask him, they say, "Where do you live?" He said, "I don't even have a stone. I use a stone for a pillow. I don't even have a pillow for my head. I have nothing. I have no property. I have no land. I have no house. I am itinerant. I move from place to place," because the Pharisees were always after him for one thing. But they knew how to get a hold of him. And that's the point of that phrase. They knew how to get a hold of him. He could have been anywhere from Lebanon to Egypt, and they knew exactly where to send the guy to get him. You know exactly how to get a hold of the Lord. Do you have a good enough relationship with him that you don't have to pray for a week till you finally feel like you're connected? You know? They sent a messenger right to him. They said, "We know where he's at." Well, we know where he's at from other scriptures. He was on the east side of the Jordan hiding from the Pharisees, because Jesus coming back into Judea is going to kick in the Passover segment, where Jesus is going to be arrested, persecuted, and crucified and raised from the dead, resurrected. So it's a timing problem, because Jesus has to die on Passover. He can't die any other day. He has to die on Passover. One of the bigger mistakes the church has made in 2,000 years is we dropped Passover and went to Easter. Easter, not to get into it, but Easter, that name is really Ishtar, and it's a Babylonian goddess. Passover. I'm not going to beat that to death this morning, but I'll let you look that up on your own. When Jesus heard that, when that messenger arrived, they didn't have text in those days. They didn't even have phones. Matter of fact, they didn't even have a post office. So they had to send someone to run out there and get this done. That's why you had to know where he was at, because you can kill a man by the time he run from Egypt to Lebanon and back a couple times. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death." Praise the Lord. If you're born again this morning, if the Lord takes you home through sickness, it's not unto death. We hang on to this earth too much. We have no idea of the glory that awaits us. I have the right to say that. I'm younger than some here, but older than most. And the reality of someday going home is becoming a reality. But it's more glorious there than it is here. More glorious there. That's our permanent home. We are just passing through here. We're sojourners. For the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. I want to get into that a little bit. There's three proof that the Messiah had to do for the Jews to believe that Jesus was Messiah. There were three proofs. One, the Messiah, whoever he was, had to deliver someone who was both deaf and blind at the same time. Okay? Not a blind person, not a deaf person, but a person who was deaf and blind. That was one proof. The second proof was he had to be able to heal a leper. Now, Elijah doesn't count because he sent Naaman to the river, and Naaman's act of obedience in that dirty old Jordan was what healed him. The Spirit of God healed him. He acting in faith, even acting on his servant's faith, really. He complied with what Elisha told him to do, and when he did what the prophet of God told him to do, God healed him because of his obedience. It always pays to obey God. It always pays to obey God. But the Messiah had to heal someone who was a leper. So Jesus healed a leper. Remember, the leper come running to him and said, "Oh, Master or Rabbi, if you will, you can heal me." This is like what's going on with Lazarus here. It is a proof. And Jesus said, "No problem, be healed." Well, when he went, if you'll read, when he went to the Pharisees, see, when you got healed of leprosy, or when you got delivered from being deaf or blind or both, you were to go to the local priest. He would examine you to see if you were actually healed. There was a whole process they had to go through. And when that process was through, then you were declared healed and whole, and you could go back to your community. Because if you were a leper, you lived in caves and holes in the ground. People couldn't come within 100 feet of you. You had to walk through society yelling, "Unclean, unclean." You were not allowed in towns or cities, and you were banished into the wilderness. So imagine being 40, 30, 40, 50, 60 years old, and one day waking up and you own a business, you have a family, you have sons, daughters, you have grandchildren, you have a life, and then all of a sudden these white spots start appearing on your skin. You go, "Oh my God, it can't be." And you're spotted, and immediately you're cast out. You're thrown out of your home. You're thrown out of your family. You're thrown out of everything that you've known. Your whole life changes immediately. Leprosy is a type and shadow, or a symbol of sin. Because when Adam and Eve sinned, the whole world changed for them. So imagine this leper, he gets healed. He goes to the priest. The priest looks at him and declares him to be healed. We think that's the end of the story. Matter of fact, we think that's one step beyond the end of the story. It's the beginning of the story. Because what happened is he goes home to his family. He goes back to life. He is given life again. But the priest goes to the Pharisees and says, "There's someone around that's got the anointing of the Messiah because he healed a leper." And the Pharisees have an investigative team. The Pharisees, whenever they heard that there might be someone with the anointing of the Messiah, they would go and listen and see what he did. They would do inquiry. Who is this guy? Where's he from? Remember when they told Jesus, "We know who you are. You're the son of Mary." That was an insult, because in Jewish society, you were known, "You're the son of John Brown, Bill Smith. You're the son of Mary, which meant you are illegitimate. They knew him because when they began seeing Jesus's ministry, they saw him and they investigated or inquired. They had a team of inquiry that would go out. Remember, Jesus was down at the Jordan and the disciples were baptizing, and it says some Pharisees from Jerusalem came down. That's the investigative team. That's the inquiry team. They're coming to see who this guy is and what he's about. So what happens is the priest goes, without belaboring it, he tells them, they go investigate, then they send an interrogation team, interrogatory team. They go out and they begin questioning Jesus because they want to nail him down to see who he is and what he's about and where he's going. And that's why you see where the Pharisees and the Sadducees keep coming up to Jesus and going, what about this? What about this? Throwing him the coin and say, who do you honor? Who do you believe? You know what? This is an official investigation and inquiry and interrogation of one who claims or who has the anointing of the Messiah. They didn't recognize him when he sent them the blind and lame. Remember, the Sadducees were there. They're all part of this group. They were there when he went down, that boy who kept throwing himself in fire and in the water. Jesus went down and healed him. That got reported back to Jerusalem. They didn't receive him then as Messiah. Jesus is there to prove he's Messiah, but it's three proofs. He knows what their proofs are. So the second time he heals the leper, they still don't receive him as Messiah. Now, remember the 10 lepers? Our God's a good God. He's got them nailed. They didn't receive the first leper. They won't receive him as Christ. They won't receive him as Messiah. They won't accept the proofs he sends them. So here are 10 Messiahs, or 10 lepers coming by. Jesus heals the 10. We know the story. What we don't read in the Bible is it's doing Yom Kippur, the highest holy day of the year. And all the Jews who are supposed to be Jews are in Jerusalem. And Jesus said, you wouldn't believe me for one, I'll send you 10. Cool, huh? Jesus says, I'm capable. I'm adequate. I am your Messiah. You wouldn't believe one. Here's 10. Believe it. That's why we have this scripture here. For sickness is not unto death. Jesus knows what he's going to do right then. It's time. This is the one. I'm going to raise him from the dead. But for the glory of God. Why? Because Jesus is going to offer them their final proof. Now, he's healed the widow of Nain's son. He was on a funeral bier being carried to the ground. And Jesus went over and laid hands on the bier. He did all the things rabbis weren't supposed to do. He broke the law all the time. Laid a hand on a dead man. Healed him. Well, you could do that, but then you had to separate yourself. But Jesus didn't do that. Healed him. Raised him from the dead. Healed the synagogue leader's daughter. Raised her up. But this is one they can't ignore. This is one they have to look at. That's why Jesus says, we're going to wait here 2 days. We're going to make sure he's good and dead. People are not going to be able to say, well, they were in a coma, or they just happened to have, you know. It was just, they didn't have stethoscopes in those days. It was just a weak pulse and we missed it. Jesus said, we're waiting right here for his death. But for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. That glorified thereby is that Jesus will be acknowledged as Messiah. Jesus has come to them to say, I have come to save your nation and to save your people, to be raised up as Messiah and Lord over this earth. I have come to do this work, and if I'm not accepted and I'm not received by you, then this nation will go under, and you will find it in Zechariah 9. The pronouncement to that prophecy is what will happen to them through the diaspora of AD 70. You will be scattered to the nations and you will become victim because this generation refused to receive me as Messiah. I've prepared you people for 2,000 years for my appearance. Receive me as your Messiah. That's why he sat down and wept over Jerusalem. He sat down and wept over Jerusalem because, read it in Matthew, he then pronounces judgment upon the nation. And it's exactly what happened. AD 70, AD 67 to 70, the Romans came in, laid siege, them and the Syrians. They came in and laid siege. They took the city. 1 million Jews were killed. The rest were scattered to the far corners of the earth. And look at their history since. Because they refused the Messiah in their generation. If there's anyone here this morning that's not saved, do not refuse Jesus Christ. It's your generation. You have one chance. You have one life. Receive Jesus today if you don't know him. So Jesus came to prove that he is Christ. Remember, he doesn't have to prove anything. He's the one who owns it all. God the Father has a blueprint to the universe and all all eternity in his heart, in his mind. Jesus understands and knows the blueprint. He is a construction superintendent. He looks at it, and it says that he spoke the world into existence. And as he spoke the world into existence, the Holy Spirit caused them to come about. That's how let us go down and make man in our image. All three persons of the Godhead created the universe and created us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Talked about the three proofs. So Jesus waits 2 days. I like what Philip had to say, or not Philip, but let me read on here. Sorry. Jesus said, let us go into Judea. They waited 2 days, and Jesus said, let us go into Judea again. And 9, Jesus said, and there are not 12 hours in a day. If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, but because he seeth the light of the day, the light of the world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he. After that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awaken him out of sleep. In verse 16, let's go on down here and I'll get through this. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Lord, he's sick, he's sleeping, it's good for him, he'll recover. Right? How often is it? Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking his rest and sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is, it's very hard to understand spiritual things if you are working in the natural. It's very hard. It's almost impossible. If you know someone who just got saved, we have a friend who just got saved. He's 76 years old. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. 76 years old, a brand plucked from the fire. But pray for this gentleman, because he's never been spiritual his whole life. Ever. Never been spiritual. He struggles at the way. He loves prayer. He loves to pray with his wife. He never would get close to his wife when she was praying before. Now he loves to pray with his wife. God had done a work in him. He's saved. I believe that. But he struggles with the word. He struggles with the word because it's completely foreign to him at this time in his life. Pray that his name is Bob. Pray that God would open his heart and his mind to the word, that he'd be able to understand it and receive it and receive it. He's trying to cut through 76 years of natural. Think again, spiritual insight. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. Why is he glad for their sakes he was not there? Because he's going to prove. He's going to offer the ultimate proof that he is Messiah. He's going to make it so plain that they're going to have to deal with it. What am I doing for time? I got about 10 minutes, I guess. To the intent ye may believe. There's that believe what? That he is the Messiah. He is the Holy One of God. He is the Savior of Israel. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the Everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Son of God. He's the Sar Shalom. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then Thomas said, you know, everybody jumps on Thomas. Everybody says, doubting Thomas. Guess what my name is? Thomas. Guess what I've heard my whole life. All right. You got it, right? Yeah. Okay. I read this every day and I went, oh, cool. So I'm going to share it with you. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. They're not talking about Lazarus dying. They're talking about Jesus dying, because Jesus has been on the east side of the Jordan hiding out from the Pharisees. He had to stay over there. His disciples were baptizing and Jesus was teaching, and they were in Edom, not in Judea. He was hiding there because it's the timing problem with the Passover. He's got to die on, when they were cutting the throat of the Passover lamb in the temple, Jesus was nailed on the cross. Okay? It's all a timing problem. It's scary when you really get into that. See how exact and perfect God is, and how all these things moved according to plan. But Thomas says, let us go and die with him. He's talking about Jesus. We always remember him as the doubting Thomas, unless I put my finger, you know, and all that stuff. But here he says, I'm going with Jesus. If it takes his life, I'm going with him. Are you going with Jesus? There's a lot of people in the world today who's going with Jesus. They don't want to, but because that's where he's at, that's where they're going. It really is. It really is. So he comes and he said, Jesus tells them, I love the part where John 11:20-23. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. No, she went, Lord, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. How many times have we done that in our life when God didn't do something exactly the way we wanted it, when we wanted it? Kind of shook our finger at him a little bit and said, God, how come? Why? God's always got a purpose. It's his plan. It's his time. It's his planet, and we're on it. My brother would not have died, but even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. 24 to 26. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in a resurrection. The Jews, you can go. I don't have it with me this morning. I should have brought it. There are four places in the Old Testament you can see where the Jews believed in being born again. Born again. And they all believed in resurrection. Praise the Lord. I believe in resurrection. Amen. I believe big in it. The older I get, the more I believe in it. So Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. It's all because of me that all men be revived and be resurrected. I am the resurrection and the life. We enjoy his life today, but one day we will enjoy the act of resurrection if God tarries. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Excuse me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I have family in heaven. I am longing to see. I am longing to see. A mother, a father, a sister, a brother, I am longing to see. They're there waiting. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Death for a Christian is transformation. It's stepping off one train onto another. It is moving from one realm into another. We forget what a great, great future we have. Don't look back. I'm in my 70s. I don't look back. You can talk to my wife. I don't have pictures all over the house of when I was 30 or 40 or 25 or 50. I don't even have pictures of my kid in the house. I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward. I'm going forward. Christians always go forward. They don't go back. They go forward. Praise the Lord. Then when Mary, John 11, 32 to 36, then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet saying to him, Lord, this is the other sister. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Two things here. One thing I like about Jewish people, I've studied Jewish culture for 30 years, 35 years. One thing I like about them is their community. You know, there's an old saying, it was as loud as a Jewish picnic. And they get together, they celebrate life, and it's a little noisy. But it says, and the other Jews came with her. How many people die or have people die, and no one comes to visit? No one comes to share the grief. We're all there when it's good times. But what about the bad times? Either Mark is during when the other people have grief. And Jesus saw her weeping and the other Jews with her, and he groaned in his spirit. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And here's the scripture every five-year-old loves. Jesus wept, because we can all memorize it, right? Jesus wept. When I was a little kid, we always had to have memory verses on Sunday morning. Jesus wept. Why did he weep? He's not weeping over Lazarus. He's weeping over the fact that he is about, that after 3 years of ministry, they still don't believe him who he is. It's like, you don't get it. You don't get it. You don't understand. I am the Messiah. I am more than a prophet. I am the Messiah. Is Jesus really your Messiah today? Is he really? Have you gotten a hold of him lately for anything? He really needs to be your Messiah. Then six, I'm going to skip him bringing him forth, because that's some of the most famous scriptures in the Bible. Jesus spoke, said, roll the stone away, and you know, they said, he stinketh. Well, yeah, 4 days in the grave, no embalming. He does smell a little bit, quite a little bit. But that's why Jesus waited. This is a proof that no one can argue with. This is, he's been dead. We've got witnesses, all these people who know the situation. The day he died, when they buried him, they were there. They had the service. The Pharisees can't ignore it, because the Pharisees ran the country. The Romans oversaw it, but the Pharisees ran the country. They had their own police department. They had their own militia. So Jesus is sending them one last thing, and what he sends them is the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Going, you've got to believe this, because if you don't receive me as Messiah, judgment from Abel to Zechariah is coming on you. All the prophets that you have killed down through the ages, all the righteous men that you've done in, people like Manasseh and Ahab and people like that, this generation is going to pay for, and every generation after that. That's what Jesus is telling him, that, and he's sending them that dramatic of a statement. So Lazarus lays in the tomb 4 days, and he says, Lazarus, come forth, and he comes forth, and you know, we know the story. There's something that I think, this is my favorite scripture in the whole Bible, John 12, 1 and 2. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, for Lazarus was who had been dead. Praise the Lord. Where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Can you imagine what the topic of the table was that evening? This is one dinner I would have loved to have been there. Seriously, I would have given anything to be at that dinner. Lazarus saying, Jesus, I was in paradise for 4 days. Wow, you would have been there. Jesus goes, yeah, I know all about it. I know it. And he's telling everybody, and everybody's excited, and everybody's happy because here is a man who is dead and who is now alive. He's been to the other world and is back and has this testimony. Matter of fact, if you read in here, the Pharisees even wanted to kill Lazarus because of his testimony. Why? He'd been in paradise 4 days. And he was telling everybody in the room what it was like in paradise. I'd love to have been there. Two places I'd love to have been in the Bible, in the New Testament, at that dinner, and been one of the guys on the road to Emmaus. So this morning, put your heart, your faith, your life in Jesus Christ. Don't refuse him. Receive him as Messiah. Receive him as King. Receive him as your Lord. We'll close. Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this assemblage. I thank you, Lord, for people who love God, who serve God, who worship God. I thank you, Lord, that we, even though through a glass darkly, see what's ahead of us. God, open our eyes and ears to the word. Open our eyes to the life that is in Christ. Help us, God, to understand and to hear when you speak to us. No matter how close we are or how far we are, draw us deeper and closer and tighter into you. Oh God, make us more than a friend. Make us a committed brother. Commitment. Lord, the thing that we don't have in the 21st century is commitment. Lord, let us truly be married, truly committed unto you. Lord, I pray for your blessing on these people, and I thank you for this. Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tom. Amen. As I mentioned before, some of you would probably do yourself well if you were to show up here at 9 o'clock, correct? On Sunday mornings and join the Sunday school. He's an incredible teacher, and he has a love and a conviction for the word and the depth of word. And I believe we receive that tonight or this morning in our time. And so thank you again, Tom. For those of you that we prayed for, we love testimony and evidence, and so share that with others, and let's get the evidence and the testimony of what God is doing in our lives. Amen.